Welcome. You know, I've always wondered how in the world a sermon speaker could stand so long behind a podium without falling over because their legs gave out. Well, I finally had the chance to give a sermon, so now is my chance to find out. But then again, of course, if you older guys can do it, then us younger guys can do it as well. There are also disadvantages and advantages to speaking at the end of the feast. The disadvantages are there are no more scriptures left to cover because they have all been used up. But the advantages are that people will remember what you say at the end because all the sermons thus far have been forgotten already. Well, since all the good scriptures have been used up, I do want to talk about something which I knew that no one would dare to talk about and talk about in detail. And that is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 1 through 10, starting with the genealogy of Adam all the way to Azel. No, we're not going to cover that. That's the 15 minutes of tape that we would fast forward when we're in the car. No, but I am going to discuss a story which is going to have a lot of symbolic meaning within our lives. And it goes like this. Once upon a time, there was a young boy born to a poor family who lived in an underdeveloped neighborhood where food was scarce and living conditions were terrible. Throughout their lives, they had to struggle to survive. A lot of times, by begging and finding whatever kind of work possible for a mere $20 a day. And at extreme times, had to take the risk of being thrown in jail by stealing. Now, since his family didn't have any money to raise their son properly, education was out of the question. They wanted that for him very badly, but they didn't want him to grow up the way they did, and they also loved him very much. The day came when his parents had told him that he would have to go out on his own, find work, and become successful. He was their ticket out. He would be the first in his family to become successful. He would be their hero to save them from this life. So at age 15, he was on his own to do whatever it took to do what his parents have told him. Now, as you can imagine, he was under a lot of pressure since he didn't know anybody, didn't know where to go or what to do. While he was on his quest for success, he was confronted by some teenagers who had asked him where he was from. So he answered them, and also told him that he needed to make money. So they offered him to work for them. But little did he know what he was getting into, and little did he know between right from wrong, at least not the way it was explained to him by his new so-called friends. He did all the wrong things to make money. He was extremely lucky for a while in his job of stealing, but his luck ran out severely the day he was caught. All of a sudden, his friends were nowhere to be found and had to suffer the consequences by being thrown in jail. At age 18, he was released from prison, but he still had not learned his lesson and went right back to where he had left off by doing the only thing that he was good at. This time, his stealing became more serious when he started robbing places at gunpoint to get whatever money possible, and for the longest time, he managed to get away. There was a reward out for his capture, and he was now well known throughout the whole area as a dangerous criminal with a terrible reputation. He was now 21, and just when things got worse, at its worst point, he met a certain individual who had offered him a brand new life to completely start over and become successful, the way his parents wanted him to be. This certain man offered him an education to be taught so he could get a great job to become successful. And so he agreed, since he didn't have anything to lose, and he finally started to realize more clearly that his lifestyle was wrong and that he wanted to change his ways. He was now 25, and his education was complete, and with hard work came success, a lot of success. In fact, he was beginning to become one of the wealthiest individuals in the whole area. Amazingly, people started to forget about his bad reputation, but started to take advantage of him because of his money. He once again had so many so-called friends, and he didn't know any better. He was told what to do with his money, literally wasting it away on people and unnecessary things. His success went to his head, and he couldn't control his money. The money and his close friends started to control him. His riches was his number one priority, and his knowledge that he had received in his education to make him successful slowly started to fade away, because it was his knowledge, not his money, that made him successful. But money and riches can become fatal. He began to forget what his purpose was from the beginning, and he became selfish and started to get back into the same type of problems he had before. Even though both situations were different, but he now could not control his money, and he became careless with it. He felt all alone again, and he started to miss his parents. He was now 30 years old, and he wanted to see his parents, wondering how they were doing. So the day came when he finally went to go visit them. As he approached that old, decaying, termite-infested home, the ground started to shake violently. Trying to keep his balance, he rushed into the house as it slowly started to fall apart right on top of him. With all pain aside, all he could think about was getting to his parents. He called out for them, and they responded, terrified, yet excited at the same time, because they haven't seen him in 15 years. They were in the next room, trapped by debris. And fire, and he was having an extremely difficult time getting to them. The shaking was increasing with intensity, and the ground started opening up right in between them. In case you're wondering, that's an earthquake, for those who haven't felt one yet. He knew if he didn't do anything to save them, that they would not make it. He also knew that his life was in jeopardy by saving theirs. That, however, was not an option to him. He lunged across the gap in the ground as it continued to widen, barely making it to the other side. He quickly hugged his parents and told them that he was sorry that he couldn't be there any sooner. He then grabbed a wooden beam that had fallen from the roof ceiling and threw it across the gap to make a ledge for them to cross. He knew that time was of the essence, since the ledge was getting more and more unstable and the fire behind them was intensifying. He had his mother go across first, and then his father, who struggled since the beam started to give away and had to jump to get to the other side. He knew that he was not going to make it, and he shouted out to them how much he had loved them. Throughout the story, you will find many symbolic meanings, which I plan on going through in relation with biblical examples. Some of these principles can also be applied personally. Let me start by saying that this story is not about me or my parents. So that will hopefully clear up any confusion that's on the mind of some of you out there. I would like to review the story, focus on certain aspects, and tie it to the Bible with examples that could relate. Now, I had the hardest time coming up with a title for this sermon. That was actually my biggest challenge. So I am going to call this the symbolic story of our lives. Now, in the beginning of the story, the boy's parents wanted him to go out on his own to become successful. Even though they were poor and couldn't offer him any education, this would prove to be problematic since guidance by his parents could not be provided to him. I want to turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15. We read, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." So he was left all alone to find a new life and to become successful. He met people who he thought were friends, but he stumbled into the wrong crowd and started doing things which were wrong. Now, in this case, he did not know right from wrong at this point. But what about us? Have we ever been in such a situation where we met people, the wrong type of people, and were tempted to do things which we knew were wrong? What does the Bible have to say about these types of situations? Since we are in Proverbs, let's go to chapter 1, verse 10. We're reading from verse 10 through 19 of Proverbs chapter 1. "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us,' let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from the path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives." Verse 19, "So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners." And also in chapter 4, verse 14 through 19, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it, do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun, that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." So we see here we have to be careful who we do hang out with and what kind of people we meet. Going back to the story, he eventually got in trouble for doing the things he did with his so-called friends by stealing. And he had reaped what he had sown. He suffered the consequences. And that's what we read about in Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. It was actually just read by Mr. Bannon. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." But see, that wasn't good enough for him. He didn't learn his lesson after he was caught the first time, and he went right back to do what he did before. He thought he was doing the right thing, but he was only kidding himself. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. Proverbs 16:25, we read, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its ends is the way of death." He hadn't really learned his lesson and still wasn't convinced completely that what he was doing was wrong. But that would all begin to change, however, and his eyes would begin to open. He met a certain individual, a new man, which started his conversion process. and he now started doing all the right things to become successful. An example of that is Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. Of course, all this could relate to us personally. This has also been read by Mr. Aaron Hooper. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Another example of this, going back to the story, would be that of Joseph. And we'd like to read that in Genesis chapter 39. What he had to go through when he was in a similar type situation. In chapter 39 of Genesis, verse 2 to 3, starting with verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Skipping to verse 23. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. The young man studied a lot, and he received more and more knowledge, and that had also gotten him a lot of success. We must remember for us now where all of our success and our knowledge comes from. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 19 tells us exactly this. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 19. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage, and rejoice in his labor, this is a gift of God. But see, we must also be careful that we don't let our success and our blessings go to our heads and forget to thank God. Because with riches and blessings also comes tests. We have to be careful that we don't misuse our blessings. That we can read about in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting verse 11, I will read to 19. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments and his statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, and that he might test you to do your good in the end. Verse 17. That you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. This is where we have to be careful. See, this certain individual who this young man had met was a great change in his life. His eyes were finally opened from wrong to right, and he realized what he had done in the past was wrong. This is also a great example for us personally. We had changed from the old man to the new man in our conversion process at baptism. And that we read about in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And also in verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Verse 21, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just as this man was a slave of sin, so were we, and we had to get out of that lifestyle. And that is also found in Romans chapter 8, a few pages forward. Romans 8, verses 6 through 9. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you, who are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. This young man became very wealthy. And now people started to take advantage of him. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 20 states that a poor man is hated, but the rich has many friends. The power of wealth started to control him. We have a warning of that in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. People who are this way, God has a warning for. And we find that in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. Another scripture that ties into this would be James chapter 5, verse 1 through 6. Come now, James chapter 5, verse 1. You rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up the treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of the slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Satan was once again trying to get to him with his riches and his so-called friends. Psalm 62:10 states that we should not set our hearts on riches. But this is one of the things that Satan will pounce on. And one example of this could be found in Job chapter 31. Job chapter 31, verse 24 through 28. You read, "If I have made gold my hope, or said to find gold, you are my confidence. If I have rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because my hand had gained much. If I have observed the sun when it shines, or the moon moving in brightness, so that my heart has been secretly enticed, and my mouth has kissed my hand, this also would be iniquity deserving of judgment, for I would have denied God who is above." Satan also tempted Jesus by offering him all the kingdoms of the world if he would only worship him. Now we read about Matthew 4, 8 through 10. I'm not going to go to that. We've read about that plenty. People do fall into the snare and temptations because they desire to be rich for all the wrong reasons. And this is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:17 and 9 through 10. We shouldn't trust in riches, but we should trust in God. Going back to the story, this young man, he went back to the same old problems that had gotten him in trouble the first time. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Mark chapter 4, verse 19, we read, "And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." We must be very careful not to put material things before God. I'm sure we can all relate to this. Because we are not perfect, we do slip up. And within our carnal nature, it is within our carnal nature that we do so. Now, I'm not talking about the point of the unpardonable sin. But what I'm talking about here is when we do sin, we must ask for forgiveness from God and strength that we don't keep stumbling into the same problems. However, we can't let it get past that point, because there is a dangerous scripture here if that were to happen, and that's in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. Chapter 2, verse 20. "For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire." Now, how come this sounds so familiar? Do we not know a lot of people who have done exactly what it says here? Sad, but that's what it says, and that's where we have to be careful not to be like the people that used to assemble with us. This is dangerous, and we have to be careful. Now, towards the end of the story, he realized that he was all alone again. He missed his parents, and he went to go find them, and he remembered what they had told him to do. I have an excellent example of where our learning and our wisdom originates from, and that is Proverbs chapter 4. I guess I am fortunate in that a lot of these scriptures haven't been used. So. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. I will read all that. It is important. Starting with 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place you on your head, an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Our learning and our wisdom originates from our parents in most things. It's easy for me to say this right now because my parents aren't here to listen to me. I don't want them to get all excited about it. But, of course, most, if not all, credit goes to them. I wouldn't be here in this position right now if it wasn't for them. At the conclusion of the story, he had a change in heart, and his selfish ways went away because he would sacrifice his own life to save his parents. Now, if we were in a similar situation, would you do the same thing? Hopefully you would never have to be in a situation like that. But we all offer sacrifices to God on a continuous basis. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we read, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Just as Christ had sacrificed his life for us, and we read about that in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. And in 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. John 15, chapter 12, verse 13. John 15, 12 and 13, so I meant. Says that it is a command that we love one another just as Christ loves us. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. We all have great love for each other, at least we should, and as we have heard many times throughout the feast, we should have love for one another. And this is my final scripture in 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. See, this story could be viewed as a love story. Not the typical kind of love stories that we are familiar with, but this one showed a change of heart from the young man and a deep love for his parents, who would give up his life to save theirs. We should also have the same type of attitude for each other and also for God, sacrificing our lives for him. Remember, we are all a family who looks after each other, and soon we will all be part of God's family.